of Island Ops. Today we got a great guest. I've seen him when he went to Kirkland back in, I believe it was 2007. Former WWE star Kazarni, and also right now he's known as Sin Bodhi. Sin, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start from the beginning. What match or wrestler have you seen that made you change your mind that, hey, this is like fucking cool, I want to be a wrestler?
The first match I remember ever watching was Roddy Piper against Hogan in the War to Settle the Score, and I was hooked.
Nice. Who's your favorite wrestler of all time?
I would have to go with my pal, Jake the Snake Roberts.
Oh, nice. He's actually one guy I've talked to, but I've never got a chance to interview him yet.
The key word being yet.
When you were trained by Rob Fugo, I hope I see his name right.
Let's not even say that idiot's name. I have no... I was trained by Ron Hutchinson.
Okay.
That schmuck that you're referring to, I don't speak his name out loud because he was really crappy to my brother. Give enough play. But we can talk about Hutchinson training me. He was awesome. He was definitely a hard-hitting, no-nonsense, old-school style of guy. And he taught us, he taught us safety, but he taught us to bring it. And he had his old school ways about him, which I think are valuable today. And I think, altered a little bit for the modern landscape, but essentially, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
How old were you when you actually first started training?
I was 24.
Nice.
I think. Yeah, 24, I believe. I wish I had started earlier, but, I don't have access to a time machine, so it's kind of a moot point. So if anybody out there has a time machine, hit me up.
ask Back to the Future cast, maybe they got one.
Yeah, right.
Who would you say that was your toughest opponent? Not necessarily like being a douche in a ring, but just somebody like when he hit you, he actually like fucking hit you.
Okay, so that sounds like sort of like a multiple question. Kyle is one of my favorite opponents of all time, and I mean, he brings it pretty good. But I mean, he's definitely one of the nicest humans I know. He definitely brings it. Another one is Funny Bone. He was fun to hit. I enjoy hitting him. Makes me happy.
Is there a place, like, since you're from Canada and Ontario, is there a place in Ontario that you really love when you toured there?
Like, where I've wrestled in front of? Who I've wrestled in front of?
Yeah, like, is there a crowd, like, in a specific city that you just love, like, performing in front of compared to some other one?
No, you know what? I love rowdy crowds. So if they're into it, I'm into it. And it's my job to facilitate smiles on earthlings' faces. So whatever city I'm in, if there's a good vibe that night, but notoriously, I don't want to leave other cities out, but I think like as far as Canadian cities go, I think one of the rowdiest cities I've ever been to is Quebec City. I think it's a lot of fun. And I think I haven't wrestled in Toronto in a long, long, long time. I really enjoy wrestling and wrestled in Niagara Falls not too long ago against Cody Deaner, which was super fun. I really enjoyed that. He's an awesome wrestler, and I knew he would bring his A game. And I think we had a lot of fun beating the crap out of each other. I think the fans really enjoyed watching us beat the crap out of each other. Niagara Falls is close to where my parents live, so that's kind of cool and convenient that I get to visit, the old Mumsy and Papa, and then get to go beat up Cody Deaner. So that's a fun day. And the Maritimes is always, my heart is in the Maritimes as far as Ontario, or as far as Canadian wrestling goes. I cut my teeth in the Maritimes way back in the day with guys like Brody Steele and Cowboy Hughes, Bobby Roode, Eric Young, guys like that, Jason Bates, Elvis Elliott. So I have a lot of fond memories of being in the Maritimes. I enjoy going there and beating up guys like Marcus Burke and so forth. It's a lot of fun, which I will actually, I think I'll be returning in the new year to the Maritimes, so that is cool. And I think I will probably do a little shot in Ontario at some point before the year is out. I'm just waiting to confirm some dates.
Shit,
and Vancouver's also pretty sweet. I grew up, you know, wanting to wrestle in Calgary for Calgary Stampede and all that. But I think now I'm not entirely thrilled with the wrestling landscape in like Calgary, Edmonton. Disclosing Lance Storm. I think Lance Storm is awesome, and I think his school is awesome. And if anybody is up in that neck of the woods and wants to train with somebody great, then Lance Storm's your guy.
Speaking of schools and stuff, what do you think like about WWE's Performance Center?
I think the Performance Center is amazing. I mean, what's not to like? You know, you're a little kid that loves wrestling, and you're in Toys R Us. You know, it's the coolest thing. There's a million rings in there, and there's all sorts of tech that you can, you know, practice your promos and do all sorts of stuff, and you know, watch back your matches with, you know, some best of the best coaches. It's amazing. It's the coolest experience. If you are a wrestler, you should definitely be trying to go to the performance.
What do you think about, out of all the legends, you faced so many of them. Which one was, without being biased or biased, whatever the word is, who did you personally like to wrestle most in the ring with? Like legends of all the ones that you faced.
Well, I mean, I guess he's maybe a younger legend, but a legend nonetheless. I learned a lot wrestling with Al Snow. That was super cool. Wrestled him a bunch of times and just always learned from him. I learned from him. He was one of my coaches at OVW, but I actually wrestled him before I went to OVW. That's where I got signed to WWE in the first place, was out of OVW. But getting some ring reps in there with Al Snow was super fun and super, you know, educational. It was amazing. And standing across the ring from guys that I watched like as a kid was always pretty trippy and pretty cool. And across some guys like King Kong Bundy or the Steiner brothers and so forth. That was always pretty awesome. Jake goes without saying, you know, Road Warrior Hawk, Jerry Lawler, you name it. Just the list goes on and on and on and on. But Bundy comes to mind because I just remember being scared of him as a kid, watching him beat up Hulk Hogan in a blue steel cage. So wrestling him was pretty sweet. I'll say Bundy or the Steiners. Just also, too, because everybody was so scared of the Steiners. And I wrestled them in their hometown, in their high school for a charity event. And no other local wrestlers wanted to do it because they thought they were just going to get completely annihilated. And me and my tag partner at the time, a good friend to this day, Elvis Elliott, Elvis Osborne, Helvis, whatever you want to call him. We had a blast wrestling those two guys. It was super fun.
Which legend?
And by fun, I mean violent.
Sorry, go ahead.
I said, and by fun, I mean violent.
out of all the legends that you've never ever faced, whether it's WWE legend, just wrestling legend from the 60s, the 50s, now, whenever, who was one that you never wrestled that you wished you could wrestle?
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Nice. I think almost everybody says him like right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, like the very first star that I ever met, I remember being a little kid and I shook Mr. Perfect's hand in Toronto at a, I guess it was some kind of autograph signing or something. And it was like in my kid's mind's eye, it was like I was shaking hands with Captain America. I mean, he was massive. He was tan and had the blonde hair and he was in some kind of fancy sort of, I want to say some kind of Run DMC-esque tracksuit with big gold bracelets and whatever. And when I shook his hand, like my hand got lost in his hand. Like he was so huge, you know, especially for me being a little kid. So I actually got to meet him, where I never ever got to meet or wrestle or travel with or anything with Macho Man. So I say Macho Man because of that. But I always wanted to wrestle Roddy Piper. I spent time with Roddy Piper. I knew Roddy Piper. I never wrestled him, but that would have been super fun. He was definitely, like I said, he was in the first match that I ever saw ever. He was always like very cool and very flattering. Like, he was very complimentary to me. And, I mean, as a pro wrestler, how can you not be tickled pink to be complimented by Roddy Piper?
Exactly. I got a chance to talk to Roddy Piper, but he was doing on a movie set at that, like, he was on a movie, doing a movie at that time. So I didn't ever got to interview him. But who would you say is the biggest douche that you've met? If you want to say the person's name.
I'm sorry, say that again. You were cutting out a bit.
Oh, sorry. Who, if you want to say the name, if not, just tell me next question, is the biggest douche you've ever met? Whether it's just for an autograph signing or just to shake hands or...
Yeah, you know what? For me, I always just try to find the best in people. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know that, you know, everybody is just a straight villain in real life. I think everybody has their moments, good, bad, and everything in between. So I really just try to focus on finding the good in people. I mean, that's my whole job, is putting smiles on people's faces. So, you know, like, I'm not worried about getting in my certain suplex or my certain whatever maneuver. I am just more interested in getting people to hoot and holler and cheer and clap and yay and boo and make them giggle and make them laugh and make them scream. That's how, the kind of thing that I focus on.
Yeah, exactly. And I totally agree with you. And that's how all the wrestlers and just everybody in general should be like.
I'm of the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure mindset. I just believe in be excellent to one another. End of story.
I totally agree.
Unless you're in the ring, and then you could be mean to, especially with somebody like Funny Bone, who I really love to be mean to in the ring. And maybe Stevie Richards too. He's also fun to be mean to.
Did you ever wrestle
All joking aside, I really do try to be nice, and I enjoy to be around like-minded people, and I can do without the douchebaggery and drama. That's not my cup of tea.
Totally agree with you. Have you ever met Blue Meanie?
I have. I know Blue Meanie. See him once in a while. He's one of those recurring guys you see in your life. They just sort of pop up at a show here or there, a convention here or there. I see him sometimes at Cauliflower Alley in Las Vegas, and just on the odd show or convention somewhere, I see him.
Nice.
I've never wrestled him. I would enjoy to wrestle him. I think that would be a lot of fun.
How did the whole Kazarni thing come about? Was it more you contacting WWE, WWE contacting you?
WWE hired me out of OVW. Mike Bucci, Simon Dean, Nova, he was the guy who hired me initially. And when I sat down and had a meeting with Vince McMahon, he really liked the idea that I was a legit circus guy. It was Vince's idea to call me Kazarni, which is Carney for Carney. And, being a good little soldier, I went with his idea and tried to do the best I could with it.
With TNA, do you find it's a total different environment than WWE?
Yeah, I mean, it's two different companies, run two different ways. You know, their marketing style is different. Their programming style is different. But I'm a wrestler's wrestler, and I enjoy all wrestling. I like, you know, sports entertainment. I like strong style. I like Lucha Libre, so forth, so forth. All styles, all genres, all eras. I just love it.
If WWE would tell you to keep your promotion, which we'll get to in a real quick, you can keep all your stuff. They don't want nothing, no money, nothing from it. And they want to do something with you and Bray Wyatt, would you?
Yeah. I would, I'd wrestle Bray Wyatt, no problem. I've known him for a long time. He was just starting when I was there, getting ready to go up with Arnie, and he would ask me lots of questions, and I gave him lots of answers. And I'd like to think I played a pretty big role in influencing how his character came up. And yeah, I would enjoy to wrestle Bray Wyatt. I think the fans would enjoy to see me wrestle Bray Wyatt. So if anybody wants to see me wrestle Bray Wyatt, then you guys let WWE know all about it.
Exactly. But if they would ask you to team up with him in maybe 6 months or maybe 2 year, deal with you teaming up with Bray, maybe just you and him or a couple other people to make a faction, would you?
Sure. Sure, why not? As long as we're putting smiles on people's faces, I'm good to go.
Let's talk about your promotion in a bit. How did it all begin?
When I got my release from WWE, I just sort of wanted to, kind of not have any restrictors. And I was coming out of that PG era and I was, ornery and, wanting just to sort of, vent and kind of release some creative energy. So I started the precursor to Freaks of Wrestling, which was Dynamite Death Monkeys, which was more of like a sideshow on stage. And we would kind of close out the big finale with a very itchy and scratchy Tom and Jerry style of fight scene, sort of a very weird hardcore kind of finish to the sideshow stuff. And then when I moved to Las Vegas and then I turned it into a full-blown pro wrestling show. And yeah, just anything my imagination could come up with is what we did. And and as you kind of grow and develop and this and that, your tastes change a little bit. So some stuff that I did back in the day, I might look back on now and go, okay, some of that I'm happy with, some of that, but it's all just a growing experience, learning curve.
Have you ever tried to get Kiss on your show, maybe for performance?
The band Kiss? We actually chatted a little bit with Gene Simmons about doing some stuff, but him and my one fire breather Scorch, they didn't really like each other very much because Scorch could breathe bigger fireballs than Gene Simmons. So there was a bit of an ego clash there, so it never got done. But yeah, I would have been cool with that. I'm a Kiss fan.
Apart from Kiss, who is one band or singer that you wish or you're hoping to get on your show?
So I had some of the guys that did stuff before Max Sabbath, but I really am a big fan of Max Sabbath, and we never had them on Freak Show, but we had Rosemary's Billy Goat, which was some of the same guys before they were Max Sabbath. And then, Techno Destructo from Guar, he is a regular on Freak Show Wrestling, and the Radioactive Chicken Heads, which some of those guys were from like Green Jello. And so I've had some pretty fun musical guests, but I think Max Sabbath was definitely a band that I would like to have on there. And as far as like sort of more mainstream bands that I would enjoy is I would always kind of bug my pal Corey Taylor to do something with us. I think that would be a cool fit.
How many shows do you run a year in total?
It just depends. I used to run a lot more, but now I spend way more time traveling, so I don't do as many shows in Las Vegas. I just spend more time on the road performing on other people's shows across the states, Canada, UK, overseas, wherever, Mexico, England, wherever promoters are paying, I'm playing. I want to get over to Japan. That's something like I grew up with. Martial arts is like my family industry, and I've never set foot in Japan. I've had matches air in Japan, but I've never set foot there, and I would love to scratch that off my bucket list. I would love to wrestle in Japan.
Of all the wrestlers that I've interviewed, everybody says either when I went to Japan it was great, or I want to go to Japan. Japan seems to be the wrestling. Why do you think is that?
I think it's because it's, exotic and elusive and so far away. And it's not just like crossing a state or two over or flying, flying from West Coast to East Coast or whatever. It's just a whole different world, And I think the culture is very different as it as it relates to pro wrestling and wrestlers. Like when I go to Mexico, like the fans are super nice and respectful, and like it's part of their culture. Like you walk around and they're just like, you're like a superhero. It's just a really neat, really cool, respectful dynamic, and the wrestlers are cool with the fans are cool with the wrestlers, and they just want to see great shows. And I think the fans are respectful, and you know, they just want to see a good show, and that's what I'm all about.
Which tell us more about Fantasy Slam and Snake Pit Pro Wrestling Academy.
So the fantasy camp is something that I would do for fans. I do it by appointment only, where you can come in and, you know, you do not have to have any athletic prowess whatsoever. You can be anywhere from, you know, 18 to, you know, 100. And, you know, you basically, you come in, we sort of get together, we talk about, you know, what you like and this and that, and we'll kind of go over some moves of what I think individually, you know, somebody can do or can't do. And I do all the, I take all the bumps and basically get to beat me up and get it on film. And, you know, you dress up and, you know, get to be a wrestler for a day or 3 days, depending on if we do like a half day camp, a 1 day camp, or a 2 or 3 camp. And, you can either wrestle me or I coach you and kind of get you ready to wrestle, you know, some other legend or superstar or something. You know, we've had Ricky Steamboat, Gangrel, Jake the Snake, Sabu, so many different guys, D'Lo Brown, Jimmy Hart, Shelly Martinez. We've had lots of different people come and do the fantasy camp. So if you guys want to do that, just DM me and we'll set it up. And as far as Japanese promoters go, if you want me in Japan, let me know. I would love to do it.
Can you tell us
more? You asked about the snake pit. So the Snake Pit is our pro wrestling school in Las Vegas. Coaches are me, Jake the Snake, Disco Inferno, D'Lo Brown, Kikitaro, Kenny King, and sometimes TJP, and once in a while Davari. So it's pretty cool dynamic of coaches from different styles. You know, we basically cover three different generations of WWE. We have WCW, ROH, Japan, Mexico. You know, we pretty much got it covered, and we've got some wonderful junior coaches like Damian Drake, who is starting to wrestle with AAA, Owen Travers, and Hyper Streak, so forth. And it's a really great little school.
If you're serious
about learning how to wrestle, our school is definitely a one-stop shopping.
Was there ever a move when you were training that you just couldn't get, that you were like actually getting really pissed off?
Brian Danielson tried to show me how to do a moonsault once, and I almost killed myself, and we both just agreed that I should probably never ever try that again. In some ways I'm very athletic, and in some ways I am not. As far as moonsaults go, I am not. You know, I can get clotheslined over the top ropes in my sleep, you know, stuff like that, no problem. But for some reason, the moonsault is no bueno.
What would you say out of all, everywhere you toured, Ontario, U.S., everywhere you've toured in your life, which one would you say would be the rowdiest crowd you've ever been?
I remember Memphis, Tennessee being pretty damn rowdy. I mean, that town is a wrestling town if ever there was. But I think the most, like, the honoriest crowd was in Liverpool, England, where I was tagging with Joe Legend at the time, and we pretty much incited a riot. And we literally had to go back to back and just punch our way back to the locker room. Like, fans were pretty, you know, upset at our villainous shenanigans. And yeah, so, you know, wrestling in a country that they, you know, when they shoot soccer referees, you know, it's not a far cry for them to get pissed off at wrestlers. So you got to do what you got to do.
Exactly. You've been in a couple films. How was that like?
Me and Gangrel, we did stunts and stunt coordinating for Star Trek Renegades. That was pretty cool. was pretty neat. I think the director, Tim Russ, who played Tuvok, he was like really baffled at how quickly we would come up with kind of fight scenes, where I think like regular stunt coordinators, I don't know, maybe they just have a process, but they just take a little longer. And I think we are so used to being very ad lib and off the fly that it came, you know, it was very comfortable, it came very natural to us. And then I've done a bunch of different like horror movies and so forth. And that's always like fun and crazy and weird. And it's always a good time. And there's a lot of hurry up and wait on film sets. But when you see the end product, it's always fun. And it's a fun adventure to see it all pieced together. Did a lot of stuff for Full Moon. That was always a really cool adventure. We just filmed a Halloween Party for Full Moon, and it'll be out, I want to say, October 21st, I think 12th or the 21st. I need to get my words or forwards. I don't know. 21st or 12th. You look at my page, or if you go Full Moon website, see all the details.
The next question is, you did a comic book. How did that all become?
I've just always been an artsy fartsy guy and had sort of funny ideas in my head. So I wrote up and drew up this story about this cartoon flower that was in charge of the corporate marketing for Heaven and Hell. It was called Possessed Flower, and I sold it like globally. And actually, that comic book paid for my first 2 years of traveling on the road, like in my wrestling career. You know, the residuals for that, like, you know, I paid for the hotel rooms and gas and food and so forth as I traveled around kind of learning my craft.
Also, you're a tattoo artist. How long did that take you to train?
I don't recall exactly how long it took me, but I was always an artsy fartsy guy. So getting familiar with the tattoo machine was just like, to me, it was like learning how to draw with a different paintbrush or pencil or what have you, which is a heavier electric version of a paintbrush. So I think I took to it pretty quickly. I literally was, my wife was just kind of giggling because like I was at home last night and D'Lo was teaching. So I had the night off of the school and I was just sitting around and I just thought, and I'm never just sitting around. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to scribble on myself. So I drew I tattooed this giant, like, sugar skull, sort of Japanese, Mexican, 80s, retro-y sort of sugar skull on my entire, like, stomach between my other tattoos where I had some leftover space. And she just laughed. She's like, this is what you do when I leave you at home alone. So I think Macaulay Culkin's got nothing on me.
Lucky you knew Edge and Christian from your childhood, and he called you fatty. Was there a reason behind that? Because there were so many different reasons.
We all grew up together and we always called each other fat. That was just our silly thing. Like, it kind of started off as like skinny Fatterson. We would just say it to each other especially as we were like little spindly little kids and we were starting to hit the gym for the first time and pick up weights for the first time. And then the skinny part didn't stick, but the fat part did. And we just all called each other that. So, you know, Adam Edge always called me Fatty, and I always called him Fatso, called Christian Fat Kid. So we were all hybrids of fatness. That was our silly little thing. And it just sticks to this day. Like when we call each other, the first minute of it is us just singing ridiculous fat words at each other. Like, if anybody was to listen to our phone calls, they would be like, what's wrong? And my wife just looks at me like, you're ridiculous, you know. I'm in the phone and just start singing fat, 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 and just all this stuff and like these funny words and whatever. Yeah, we don't even actually start talking for about a minute. It's a minute of fatness, and then we have our conversations.
Have you ever met Test?
Yeah, rest his soul. I knew Test. You know, he was from the same area that we all came up. And it was unfortunate that he passed away so young.
I met him when, I remember, it was at No Frills in Whitby. And I literally almost shit my pants because I was like, I think 15, 16 maybe. And all of a sudden, like, Tess, I seen him on TV. And also when I seen him face to face, I was like, holy fuck, this guy is a monster.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Who is the biggest opponent you've ever wrestled?
I guess maybe Kali or Viscera. Bondi was pretty big, but I think Viscera and Kali were both bigger. Yeah, I want to say, yeah, those guys. Those guys. I just wrestled, not just wrestled, maybe what it was, my timelines are kind of crappy, but I don't know, 3-4 months ago, whenever the heck it was, I was in England and I wrestled Brody Steele, who was, he's got to be about Kane size. Like, he is huge. He's jacked. He's huge. He's like 8 feet tall. Big, scary wrestler. He was out there in the Maritimes when I started, and I hadn't seen him in years, and I caught up with him a couple of years ago at a wrestling show in the Maritimes. UCW is a really cool show. If you guys are out in the Maritimes, check that out. And then we wrestled. I hadn't seen him in I want to say about 15 years, and then I saw him in the Maritimes, where he's from. He lives in Moncton. And then we wrestled in England, and it was a lot of fun wrestling him, man. He hits hard. Whew, let me tell you.
All the AEW new wrestler or any new wrestlers that are coming up that you never got a chance to wrestle, but you want to, who would it be?
Oh, there's a ton of guys I would love to wrestle that I haven't got my hands on just yet. I don't know that they're new guys, but some of them are, some of them aren't. Definitely would love to get my hands on Penta and Phoenix. I think that would be a lot of fun. Pete Dunne. I've ridden around with Pete Dunne. I know Pete Dunne. I think he would be a lot of fun to wrestle. I would enjoy that. Me personally. Man, there's so many guys. There's just way too many for me to even process. I think Darby Allin would be fun to wrestle. That would be enjoyable. I'm looking forward to wrestling Fulton from OVE. I'm going to wrestle him in a few weeks in Orlando at Atomic. It's going to be pretty cool, in Cocoa Beach, actually, just outside of Orlando. So if y'all are down there, check that out. We're going to do a tag match, and I've been looking forward to beating him up for a while. Looking forward to doing the same to me, so I think it will be fun for the fans. I think wrestling, I know Matt and Jeff, but I've never wrestled them. I think it would be fun to beat up those two clowns. I think that'd be a lot of fun. there's a billion of them that I would love to wrestle with. And some guys I wrestled like way before they ever came into their own stride. Like, I wrestled just so many dudes. But I know there's a whole giant laundry list of guys that I would enjoy to wrestle. LA Park. I would love to wrestle LA Park. Tons of guys.
I would love
to wrestle Kane. I think Kane, and I mean, I guess, you know, I guess like if I could just pick maybe a dream opponent, I think I would go with Undertaker. I was set to wrestle him at WWE, and then it never happened. And I always thought, man, I was supposed to wrestle him, and then it never got done. And I would have loved to do that. I still would love to do that.
How would a wrestler, anybody, doesn't matter who it is, get prepared for somebody to wrestle against somebody like Brock Lesnar that's a legitimate, like, badass beast?
You better take your training seriously. You know, you got to get into the gym, you got to get in the octagon, you got to get in the squirrel, and you got to be ready to sweat and bleed and pay your dues. And, you know, you got to hone yourself into a craft. Like, pro wrestling is not a video game. A lot of people think, well, it's, you know, story driven and blah, 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 whatever. That's all fine and well. You know, it is story driven and character driven, but the physical stuff can get quite physical, and you have to be in pretty awesome shape to do it. I just wrestled not too long ago with Stefan Bonner. Man, I mean, when you wrestle a UFC Hall of Famer and you go toe-to-toe, you know, you better be bringing your A-game. And then, like, you know, characters aside and all that stuff or whatever, I mean, you gotta tread softly, and you gotta, you know, respect the danger that you're up in there with. And I would say the same thing for, you know, guys that are gonna wrestle me or anybody else. You better... better respect your industry if you're going to get in the ring with me, because I'm not that easy. I don't ever phone it in. I don't care if it's 20 people or 20,000 people. Like, I'm bringing everything.
Out of all the titles that you won, which one meant the most personally to you and why?
I would think maybe I have a few titles currently, but the one that is maybe dearest to my heart is the OVW Anarchy title, because I won it from Al Snow's company, who Al Snow is again one of my coaches, and he's a friend of mine, and you know, I'm really thankful that he puts enough trust and stock in me to let me carry that title for him. And I think that title, more than any other that I've held, is really sort of tailored to me. Like, the Anarchy title is basically a no rules, anything goes, no holds barred title. Sort of like the hardcore title, I guess, from back in the day, except the difference is I can pick any stipulation I want. So if I want to have a Santa Claus summertime surprise match, or if I want to have a heaven and hell match, or I want to have a empty arena match, or a boiler room match, or whatever the heck I want to do, I can do that. So I think it's the most creative, funnest title I've ever had.
I'm going to put you on the spot, and if you don't want to answer, just say next. If AEW, TNA, and WWE all came together, offered you the same amount of money, whatever you want, which company would you say like yes to right away?
Well, I love wrestling so much, I would wrestle for all three if they let me. But you know, growing up as a little kid, my heart was in WWF. So I would, for one reason, I would go with WWE, because that was my childhood dream to perform there. Impact or TNA, whatever you want to call it. I have, you know, loyalty to them, because it was Scott D'Amore and TNA that gave me my first TV break and put me on NWA TNA as one of the New Church members. So I have a loyalty to Scott and TNA that way. And then as far as AEW, I think it's a brand new, innovative, you know, it's cutting edge of the next interesting, sizable wrestling company to take hold on planet Earth. So I think all three have their valid reasons, but yeah, I would wrestle for all three if I could. I wish I could magically transport from a WWE ring to an AEW ring to an Impact ring and back to a WWE ring and up and down and all around.
Do you personally wish the territory days would be back?
Yes. Yes, I think, you know, a lot of wrestlers are in weekend warrior mode, and it's not their fault. It's just that's the landscape, and they can only get on so many shows if there's only so many shows to run. But I think that's why, like, the work rate of yesteryear was so smooth, because they just had so much more opportunity to, you know, get their reps in.
I've been asked this 100 times to ask you, and I'm not going to go into details about the case because not going there, but apart from what Chris Benoit might have done, do you think he still deserves a Hall of Fame?
Well, I think Chris Benoit was a phenomenal wrestler, but he ended his life in the most awful of ways. So I don't know. I think it's out of my wheelhouse. It's above my pay grade to sort of make that decision. That's an executive decision, you know, coming from WWE to decide that. But you can't deny he was a wonderful wrestler, and you can't deny, you know, things ended terribly. So that is a smart move, but at the same time, like, you know, he did phenomenal things in the ring, and he should be rewarded for that, or what's the word I'm looking for? If he should be sort of like, I don't know, what's the word? I'm brain farting here for the word. You know, I just mean, like, you know, he wrestled, you know, as a legend, and there's that, but then he's going to be remembered for something very different and very terrible. So, I mean, I don't know. There's not, I don't think there's a quick, easy answer. I think, again, people can do great and people can do terrible, So I think, I don't even know. I don't know. I just don't have an answer for you.
Honestly, I think WWE's in a shit zone with this. Like, damn if they don't put him, because like you said, he was a great wrestler. Nobody can ever take that away. But if you put him in, then damn if they do, because people are gonna look at WWE like, well, they put what he did and he still went in the Hall of Fame. So I feel actually sorry for WWE.
Well, WWE, I think, is definitely between a rock and a hard place when it comes to him. So why don't we leave that right there?
Absolutely. Do you think, because I did a poll on my Facebook in different places, and the most horrific thing they said was Owen's Hart's unfortunate death, which he was my favorite wrestler since growing up. I was a kid. Do you think personally that was the most horrible thing that happened in wrestling?
Is definitely one of, for sure. Wrestlers being stabbed or shot. There's been all sorts of horrific things. Plane crashes, car accidents. So there's lots of terrible things that have happened to wrestlers and every other, human for sure. So I think it's definitely tragic what happened to Owen. And Owen was a super sweet, nice guy. I only got to meet him a few times, but I remember how devastated Edge was. He was very close to Owen. So I mean, because my friend was so upset, that I really, really felt for Owen's loss. And I've always been cool with Owen's family. I don't know all of them, but the ones I know are always super cool, super sweet. Like I think Natty and TJ are awesome. Some of Owen's brothers I've met, and they've all been super cool to me. But I think it's definitely tragic, and sometimes bad things happen to good people, and that's the only way I can explain planet Earth sometimes.
Exactly. Before we let you go, give fans maybe something that fans wouldn't expect from you, like I'm brain fart, like something, I don't know, I guess fans wouldn't expect from you.
Like in what facet? What do you mean? Like
Like
where I'm gonna be, what I'm gonna do, what I wanna do? What do you mean?
Sorry, I'm trying to explain. I'm just having a bad brain fart. Like for say you're a tattoo artist, but like say that you're a secret one and like people didn't know. You know what I mean? A hidden secret. There you go. Or hidden talent. I don't
A
know.
hidden talent. I really am I love animals. I've always tried to like help out and donate and everything, anything to do with like animal rescue. I don't think that's any big secret, but I mean, maybe when you see a spooky, nutty clown coming to the ring, that may be the last thing you might think about or realize. But I'm always cool to do like animal charity stuff and anything to do with helping little critters and saving little critters. I've got all the patience and all the time in the world to do that kind of stuff. I love that. So yeah, there you go. I'm an animal lover.
Okay, this is your time, bro. Plug everything in that you want.
Traveling all over the place. If you guys want to see me wrestle, on my Facebook, my Twitter, my Instagram is all Sin Bodhi, SinnBodhi, and you can see where I'll be popping up next. And if you want to see me at any specific promotions that I haven't been to or haven't been to in a while, please message them or tag them and let them know. Let your voices be heard. Wrestling companies do listen to wrestling fans. So if you guys want to see me in Japan, then start bugging wrestling promotions in Japan, like New Japan, All Japan, DDT Pro, so forth. You want to see me in WWE, you want to see me in Impact, you want to see me at AEW, let those companies know all about it. You want to see me at a local promotion, let that local promotion show know that you want to see me. And there you go. Make sure you tag them, because if you don't tag them, they won't hear you.
Sin, I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
No problem, dude. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For you have a great day.
You too. This is another episode of BioDocs. Thanks, everybody.